2000 of Tech. I'm Jason.
And I'm Casey.
We are here for our awesome episode 14 episode.
Yeah!
Woohoo! It's great for May 18th.
It's full of just-in-time compilers and big cups of Froyo and...
and amazingness.
Yes.
It's going to be great. And by May 18th, I actually mean May 27th, but the date on here is wrong. So,
nice.
That's your fault, Casey. You set that up.
Oh!
Oh!
We're already starting the blame game.
Oh, the blame game is...
right out of the gate.
It's a nasty game to play.
Podcast's going to get nasty.
Every time you point a finger, you got 4 points back at you.
There you go.
That's right.
All
right. So, lots of exciting shit, man. Last Wednesday, Thursday, Google I.O., the Input-Output Conference, which is equivalent to Apple's yearly WWDC, but better.
Yeah.
Had a lot of good shit. I watched it. What about you?
I watched it
yeah.
a few times.
Yes. Yes, we
downloaded it with my YouTube downloader on my HTC Incredible. Yeah.
Incredible.
Got down on some of that.
What I liked is that they actually this year streamed the event live via YouTube for both days. The first day I slept through it because, you know, I like my sleep. The second day, though, I actually was awake for it, which is really the important day, the day that probably most of our listeners are really going to be interested in.
Yes.
Day one, you know, talked about Wave and Chrome and all great innovations by Google, which, by the way, Google Wave is now open to everybody.
Yep.
So sign up for that shit. It's good. But day two was really what we were looking for here. And that's the introduction of Android 2.2. The Froyo!
Not to mention Google TV.
Yeah, not the Frodo. The Froyo. That's right. Lots of good stuff, man. First of all, I want to say Vic Gonditra. I hope I pronounced that right. Chandra Rathakrishnan. What up now? This dude's awesome. I like him. And I know you like him better than Andy Rubin.
Yes, big time.
This guy, I suggest that everybody, you know, download and watch this, especially the day two keynote.
Yeah, just Google I.O.
Yeah.
is the name of the conference.
And it's fucking awesome. And there were so many jabs taken at Apple.
Clever, thought out,
yeah.
tactful.
And they didn't seem like spiteful or
no,
whiny.
They were just being honest.
They were.
Speaking the truth.
It was just, oh, it was perfect. I love it. One of my favorites. There's so many, but one of my favorites.
Yes, let's discuss
this. Let's discuss this. The one that I liked in regards to Flash, and Vic Gonditra's up there, and he's talking about Flash, because Froyo is going to introduce Flash 10.1 into it. And he says, you know, it turns out that on the internet, people use Flash. what a fucking revolutionary statement right there.
Yep. And they're here to serve the users,
yeah.
not serve their agendas.
Exactly. Tell us some of your favorites.
By far, let's start off with a very simple one that I liked a lot. I thought was very clever. Is that they wanted to be inclusive, not exclusive.
Yes.
I thought that was very witty, but this was a non-Apple jab, but he's like, a report was done where people had the opinion that, you know, that they didn't use the phones to search Google or something along
right,
those
lines. Right, the mobile search wasn't used.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he made the statement that we're driven by data, not opinions. And then he puts up this huge graph that said it had all these crazy numbers on it about how many people are using Google search and how much of it it's expanded, I think like 5 times.
Yeah.
Expansion over, you know, a given period of time, so.
Which is true, because, I mean, I'll tell you what, there's something I want to look up on my phone. I don't even need to hop on
my browser.
I don't go
to Bing. I don't go to Yahoo.
Bing! You know, I swipe over on my phone, because I got my home screen set up, and there's a Google bar there. I just start typing into it, searches everything on my phone and the internet,
yeah.
and boom, I hit it. I mean, I'm constantly using Google search.
If you're outside, and you're looking at a plant, and you want to know more about the plant, just, you know, you Google
right.
the plant. If you heard someone say, you know, some crazy news about a pop star is arrested, Google that. Bam, Googled it.
There okay, go. Case in point, I was listening to the radio the other day, and I was up in the wee hours of the morning. For me, it was like 7 o'clock in the morning, getting some Chick-fil-A, which I love Chick-fil-A breakfast, by the way.
Dude, I'm getting free Chick-fil-A tomorrow.
How are you pulling that one off?
Yes. I guess I didn't email it to you, so I should have probably just been quiet.
You're a son of a bitch. What is that about?
You should probably get on it now, because you have to order it a day in advance.
What?
But all week they've been giving out free spicy chickens.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, see, I only...
Free spicy chicken sandwich.
That's great. I actually really like the Chick-fil-A breakfast, the chicken minis.
That sounds awesome.
They're like chicken nuggets, and then there's these beautiful breaded roll things that... It's just delicious. You get a serving of hash browns and a cinnamon cluster to balance it all out with a sweet tea.
Wow.
Mmm!
Listen to you.
Breakfast of champions.
I might have to get up early tomorrow.
Oh, dude, it's fucking great. Chick-fil-A opens at 6:30 in the morning, and there's one right there by where you work. It's pretty close, so nice. You just hit that up. So I was listening to the radio, which I don't like morning radio because it's all talk, and honestly, in the morning when I'm awake, I want to hear music. But, you know, they were saying that Brittany Murphy's husband was found dead.
Yep.
And as you guys know, or don't know, but should know, Brittany Murphy died only 6 months ago.
Yep.
She had pneumonia and then an overdose on Vicodin. It slowed down her breathing. That coupled with the pneumonia killed her, unfortunately. So her husband's dead, you know, 6 months later. And I was surprised that I hadn't, you know, seen this pop up. You know, it was fairly recent. I'm like, well, you know, and then they cut to a commercial. So I'm like, well, what the fuck are the details? So what did I do? I hopped on my HTC Incredible by Verizon and Google.
Running a clear?
Yeah. And I typed in that Google search, you know, Brittany Murphy's husband, and boom, right there, news story about him being dead.
There you go.
Not the greatest news in the world to find out, but just case in point, people use the mobile search. You know, whoever says they don't, obviously, they're retarded.
They're entitled to their opinion. We're a data company.
Yeah. Yeah, we're driving by data, so... So yeah, I thought that was really cool. And then the whole conference, you know, when he started out, he talked about how Andy Rubin, you know, had started out Android, you know, 18 months ago. And he had this vision of the future.
Yeah, he said that, do we really need another mobile OS?
Yeah, this was Vic talking to him. He's like, you know, do we really need this?
And boy, did Andy Rubin have a response for him.
Oh, so good.
So yeah, definitely go watch the video. It was really great. Another big thing about this whole conference is immediately we were definitely great. I don't know how to explain it, but we had the idea for the 1984 parody where they threw the hammer through the window.
Yes.
And that was a totally part of their initial jab, the first uppercut
Apple
across to the chin of Apple. Had the picture of the 1984, like, poster board.
Right, and the future we do not want.
Exactly, yeah. And Andy Rubin, when Gondutra was recalling his conversation with Rubin, Rubin stated that, you know, we face a draconian future. And that nailed it right in the head, you know, and he says the whole thing, one man, one carrier, one company.
One phone, one option.
Yeah.
And obviously that, you know, speaks to the whole Apple idea here. And you and I have said before, you know, that this whole 1984 commercial, which if you Google it, get on YouTube, you know, Apple's 1984 commercial, really at that point was a jab at Microsoft. And it was saying, you know, we don't want this to be just this uniform future where one person is dictating our future. And then it talked about Apple releasing the Macintosh in 1984. You know, and people were blown away, and it was so amazing. And great piece of advertising. Unfortunately, Apple has turned into that.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a parody up there with Android, which I so cleverly created. It's actually a pretty shitty version of it. But basically, I posted the Android guy in there as the chick running with the hammer, and then Steve Jobs' face, you know, doing the talking. And yeah, it could use a lot of work, but you'll get the idea. You know, but it's true. And you have, you know, Apple, who's just increasingly becoming more and more closed off, their walled garden, as they like to call it.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have Google, who, you know, through their Android platform, are just screaming openness.
Right.
And, you know, this just ability to be open and to work with Flash instead of work against them, and to work with developers instead of against them. And it's really fantastic. You guys need to watch it.
Right, and Vic later stated that he would be interested to see where Apple goes from this point.
Right.
I mean, Apple's their next press conference coming up where they'll introduce their new iPhone. Yeah. It's going to be interesting because they're 100% there's going to be a jab at Google at some point.
Oh, there's going to have to be.
Absolutely.
But here's the thing: what are they going to say?
Right. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. But he predicted that they might become more open. You know, and I think it's very possible. You know, Apple's. You know, they've been around for a long time. For a lot of different reasons, but hopefully Google has gotten through to them a little bit, maybe, and they've seen the error in their ways.
You know,
I don't see them fixing the whole Adobe situation.
No,
most of the situations I see them not fixing, but you know, I got a little hope, but it's tempered.
Yeah, I the way I see it, maybe 2 years ago, I could have possibly seen some potential for hope in Steve Jobs. But anymore, he just comes off as such an arrogant cocksucker.
Yep.
And I really, you know, I mean, he'll cut off his nose to spite his face. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's just, I really don't think that he's going to do shit because it's his company. He's going to do what the fuck he wants. And they're still going to sell products. It's not like they're not going to, you know, sell any iPhones this year.
Right.
I mean, it's going to happen.
It's very anticipated.
But the thing is you've got 100,000 handsets being sold per day with Android on them.
It's
100,000.
Yeah, that's big numbers. It's funny, though, because, I mean, the iPhone really has reached commercial success at this point.
Right.
I mean, it's hailed as one of the best phones ever made and everything like that, and I was really fighting for that not very few months ago. I was fighting for that. But, I'm definitely not fighting for that anymore.
No.
And it's kind of frustrating, man. I can't even say that I'm on the bottom looking up, though, because of that stat you just gave, 100,000
right.
Going strong. So
I mean, it's just, you know.
We made the move right in time.
Yeah, I agree. You know, like we said last week, Google had announced that they are now second in market share with phones, only to BlackBerry, to RIM. So they've overtaken the iPhone in that.
And the actual using it with the web, as far as those stats go. You know, its presence on the web.
As far as web use and application use,
it's actually number one.
It's number one.
Yeah.
So that's just amazing.
Yep.
And, 18 months, Apple is going into its fourth year with the iPhone. They finally did copy and paste last year.
Yep.
You know, and it's just, to see Android exploding like this, I mean, it's just constant innovation, and I love it. It's fantastic. So let's talk some Froyo Android 2.2.
Some Froyo. I need to go. I want to try out some frozen yogurt.
I can't say
I've ever tried that in my adult life.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I've had some good frozen yogurt. Now, you've got two different types of frozen yogurt. You've got TCBY.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard of TCBY before.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in the day. And their stuff's kind of sweetened up. Now, my buddy Matt, we were over in down in Norwood. And there's this place in Rookwood that does, like, true frozen yogurt. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Real frozen yogurt is not as good as what TCBY was pushing, okay? Because it's got kind of, like, a sour-ish taste to it.
Really?
Basically, I got the vanilla kind because I'm a pretty picky eater and I'm not, you know, out to explore here. So I got the vanilla, you know, style, or just the, not even vanilla, it was just like this white, plain frozen yogurt. It was the original frozen yogurt.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. It's not something I want to have all the time, but I topped that bitch with some coconut. Mmm.
Oh, that's gross.
Delicious.
I don't roll with the coconut.
Oh my God, I love coconut. But it made it better. So,
no, Dana White, the guy from the UFC.
Huh?
He's fighter.
President
of the UFC. Yeah, he's big on Pinkberry.
Yeah, I saw that.
I guess I think they put like cereal in your yogurt, and you know they do like the whole nine yards, all this different stuff. So he's like insane about him. Like he's wearing Pinkberry shirts. He has flash
pink.
He schedules flash mobs to go there, and
crazy.
I want to try it out. I don't know if we have any in this area, but
we might have to travel to Vegas to find that.
Look at this awesome conversation. Google's inspiring.
Oh no. People inspires greatness.
Yeah, people want to talk about, you know, good taste in, you know, little desserts and treats and stuff. You
absolutely.
Know, Claire's, you know, I'll take an Eclair. Well, who's going to turn down an Eclair?
Not me. Hell no.
All right, so anyway, this motherfucker rolls.
Yes!
So we're going from 2.1 Eclair to 2.2 Froyo. They're advertising 3 to 4 times faster. Now, they were speaking that it's not across the board on every single thing that you do.
Right.
But some things are going to be are going to be a lot faster. Some things are going to be somewhat faster. But everything, bottom line, is everything will run smoother, and it will get rid of a lot of the lag that you sometimes experience. And
right.
Not that it experienced significant lag, but going from one application to the other, sometimes there's that little, jitter, and then it does what it needs to do. But I've been...
And this is going to do this across the board as far as, even... We're not talking just on our Incredibles or on the Droids or the Nexus ones. We're talking like the Droid Eris,
right?
With a measly 500 megahertz ish processor. It's going to make things snappier,
right? And it's supposed to help the battery out a little bit. It's not a huge significant thing there, but it is going to help it out a little bit. Now, one of the little tricks up its sleeve is called the Just-in-Time Compiler.
The JIT.
It's the JIT.
It's now, that's too legit working... to quit. What?
Now, that's basically a little function of the Dalvik VM.
Okay? Virtual machine.
So you got the Linux base that it runs off of, and then the Dalvik is the virtual machine. Now, I'm really big on virtual machines. I think that is really where things need to be at, because the operating system, any operating system is very raw. You're dealing with files on a first-hand basis. And it's weird. It gets very complex when you think of it, but when you go into a virtual setting, it's a much more controlled environment.
Right.
You're still interacting with stuff on a first-hand basis, but it's almost there's a quick handoff, more or less, between anything you do. So everything's more controlled, thought out. You're in a controlled environment. It's more structured, and things are more sound and comprehensive and cohesive and...
It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's a better environment to do work in. I mean, if something fucks up, just turn it off. Just close the program. You launch the program. In a desktop.
It doesn't crash everything.
Yeah, exactly. So by running that on a mobile platform, you're getting a lot of bang for your buck. And what the main point that me and you just sort of realized as we were sitting here watching the keynote is. This not only will, it has tons of advantages. One of the huge ones is that it will make the experience on each handset more cohesive and more together, because they're all going to be running that same virtual machine.
Yeah, so that's huge.
Yeah, so there's not going to be all this, tailoring and fine-tuning that is probably pretty extensive at this point. It's going to help even that out and help every phone, have the same sort of performance. And then, if you have a better phone, it's going to move a little quicker,
Yeah, so. And it's great because that just-in-time compiler, that really, basically it's software component. What it does is it takes application code, analyzes it, translates it into a form that runs faster, and it all does it while you're running the application. So it's this real-time, analyzation and translation, and it's all meant for speed. It's all about
It's like
speed.
Having a good manager at your shop, at your frozen yogurt shop.
Yeah, at your frozen yogurt shop. At your
he's helping evening things out. He's pointing fingers, telling you go here, go there.
All while it's running, it's great. And
he's the JIT.
And one of the things that is going to be nice about this whole Froyo, and you have the Dalvik VM and the JIT, the Just-in-Time Compiler. They also talked about future-proofing apps. So when you build an app. It's going to be able to run on the future versions of Android with, you don't have to recode everything.
Right.
You code it for this, and then it's going to keep doing that, so they're not going to drastically change anything. They're not going to require you to rewrite the application for 2.2, 2.3, 2.4, 2.5, it's going to work.
Yep.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, that's huge.
Not a big thing, but I want to throw it in there because it's kind of probably the most boring part. The Exchange is now incorporated. Doesn't mean a whole lot for you and me, but what it does mean is for those business people out there.
Recent reports say that iPhone users, 4 out of 10, are using them for business purposes.
Right.
So this is very important.
And iPhone was, quick as possible to try and incorporate Exchange in there because they realize that they want this to be, you know, a consumer phone and a business phone.
Yeah.
You know, fucking copy and paste took them 3 years, but Exchange support worked right away.
Yeah.
So this is huge for businesses that want to use, you know, an Android handset. Having this corporate Exchange compatibility, the ability to, you know, send the updates to the phones to, you know, secure and remote wipe the phones if you happen to lose it at a bar while you're drunk or something.
Oh, snap. Nice.
You know, just that functionality, that's great. You know, it really, they're trying to make, you know, the Android phone the all-around phone, you know, right. Business, personal, whatever you want to do. So that's great, kind of boring, but nonetheless important because, you know, they're trying to reach a different community.
Right. Now, they also showed off a really, really awesome feature, and once again, another slap in the face to Apple.
Yeah.
They rolled out a push API, and it's not to supplement the inability to do background apps.
As Apple, multitasking.
Apple made the nice little case for it. No,
right.
No. This is for actual useful needs of pushing stuff from one place to your phone. So they demoed pushing a map to your phone. You know, the map pulled up in Google Maps on your
desktop.
Your Chrome, on your Chrome browser and on the computer that you're on. You just hit the little widget in the top right, and it shoots it right to your phone, launches it, doesn't give you a little instant message or a text message.
Right, doesn't send a text message with the address. It launches the navigation app.
An intent, if you will.
Yeah, and that's what they call them intent messages.
Yeah. So... Now, a buddy of mine was actually complaining about this. He's like, oh, well, maybe I don't want to, you know, maybe I don't want to go to the link right away. But what they're doing is they built the API. Now, that's for a developer to use at that point. So the different ways that it can be integrated into the phone are limitless.
Right. If you don't want the link right away, then fucking email it to yourself. Email the link, you know?
That's the exact point I made.
I mean, you know, you've got the Chrome browser. You've got the share this widget thing for it, you know, add-on, where you can just email it to yourself. Or this Chrome to phone thing, which, you know, you have to put on your Chrome browser and then load it onto your phone. Only works at 2.2.
Right.
But, you know, and it's just this little link, and you click on it, it'll send it to your phone.
Or have your bookmark synced and just fucking bookmark it.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, the fucking Android handsets can do that. So,
yes.
Lots of, you know, exciting things with that. It also helps with, like, you know, the web apps that they were talking about getting on, you know, the browser being able to activate the camera or,
yes. You
know, activate
now that,
the maps.
I mean, now, that is huge because the day before they talked a lot about Chrome.
Yeah.
And what they're doing with Chrome. And the big thing was HTML5.
Yeah.
Google sees the end of typical desktop computing through the browser and doing it through HTML5. HTML5 is going to give your browser the ability to do everything that you would need to do with a piece of software. It will be able to emulate every single activity on there, whether it's, you know, accessing local files or accessing peripherals like your camera. So in a mobile setting and a desktop setting, a traditional desktop setting, you know, you're going to start seeing the lines get blurred. You know, you won't need to install a piece of software in your computer. It'll all be ran out of the browser. So this is really the future that Apple is building.
Google.
Oh, my gosh.
I should fucking
slap
you
for
that.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right, so anyway, Google is, you know, they're exiting the, you know, they're pushing the fact that you don't need software.
Web apps.
Yep.
Now, I am a little bit more sketchy about web apps. I think they're great. I think it's good to have in addition to software, but I don't think it's going to end up completely replacing it. Not yet, at least.
Right.
I think that there definitely is room for innovation. You know, like that Pixlr thing that you showed me, where you bookmark this website, and it's basically like Adobe Photoshop
yep. In
your web browser.
Yep.
That's pretty fucking sweet. It's pretty familiar with the tools. You know, it looks feels a lot like Photoshop.
It feels like Photoshop.
You know, there wasn't a whole lot that I really couldn't do with it. I'm talking basic levels of Photoshop. I'm not talking shit that, you know, You know, I'm not airbrushing fucking, you know, Ellie McPherson or something. You know, I'm not trying to do that kind of stuff. I'm just talking
right.
basic.
It gets very close. But, we're not trying to do all that, so we can't really draw a direct comparison.
Right. But, I mean, for, you know, the basic user, for most users out there.
It was surprising for me. I was very surprised with how well
it's a good supplement. It's good, you know, I mean, definitely could be seen as a replacement for basic use.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't need... I'm not doing a ton of stuff with Adobe, so... But right. I like to have it, you know, for somewhat advanced photo editing, and I feel more than comfortable using it.
Yeah, and so, I mean, that's... It definitely, you know, could go in the right direction, but as of right now, I still see it as just a supplement, as not so much as a replacement. But hey, I mean, you know, the better it gets, you know, the more I'll be convinced.
Right.
You know, when you can start really... You know, I mean, you know, Google Docs and you know, OpenOffice.org, you know, that is getting closer.
Right.
To, you know, to
if,
Word.
If I this was a zombie invasion, we'd only be on day 2.
Right, yeah, exactly. So
it's going to get a whole lot crazier.
Yeah, so it's going to get better. Tethering and Wi-Fi hotspot are now incorporated into 2.2, which means you no longer have to root your phone. It's going to be incorporated.
But you will need to end up rooting your phone if you want to use it on Verizon, unless you
more
want to pay
likely.
unless
well,
you want to pay Verizon.
Here's the thing. The carriers will have the option to turn this off.
Yep, they will have
whether
the choice.
Or not they'll actually go through and do it is yet to be seen. You know, I'm sure Verizon probably will, but
there's
who knows?
A small tiny little chance.
There could be a chance that they don't.
Now we did see something today that you know, Google's oh my gosh, I'm screwing up the company names today. Verizon said that the 4G networks, once they're rolled out, they will not be unlimited data anymore.
Right, it's
going to
be tiered data plans.
It'll be tiered, so, you know, once you get into that arena, then, yeah, I could totally see Verizon saying, oh, that's cool, you know, you can tether, do whatever the fuck you want with the phone. You just, you know, we're going to charge you just like if you went over your minutes.
Right,
so.
And I think, you know, right now, you know, tethering costs an extra, like, $45 to $60 a month, depending on what plan you're on. I think that's just fucking obscene since, you know, I'm already paying for unlimited data on the phone.
Right.
And I'm just using the phone's connection.
Right. And during the demonstration when they showed that picture up on the screen, the crowd went wild and it was all due to the whole, you know, the iPhone not being able to tether to the iPad. And of course, the demonstration did have Vic's assistant did tether the Android phone to the iPad.
Yeah. I mean, and of course, you know, they suspect that, you know, come June 7th or whenever WWDC is, that, you know, tethering will finally, you know, be native on the iPhone. So,
right.
But the whole Wi-Fi hotspot incorporated too is great. Something that, you know, some Sprint phones can already do. The Evo 4G will be able to do. Basically, it just takes your phone, turns into a mobile hotspot. So, you know, I enable it and it makes it a Wi-Fi connection.
Yep.
Using 3G, so,
awesome.
You know, if I'm out and about and I want to, you know, it's basically like wirelessly tethering your laptop.
Yep.
And that's pretty fucking cool. So that's going to be integrated.
Tied into 4G, especially once the networks get fully rolled out.
Yeah.
It's going to be excellent.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. So that that's pretty fucking sweet. Flash 10.1, we said, you know, we touched on a little bit before, that's going to be integrated. Right now, everything that they've shown, it runs like a fucking champ. You know, right now the HTC phones have like their flashlight, and they showed a comparison between flashlight on Eclair, which is Android 2.1, and, you know, the full flash 10.1 on, Android 2.2. And, at first it started out a little neck and neck, but as, you know, it progressed, you could really see that the flash player, you know, on Android 2.2 on Froyo was much smoother, much more consistent, and complete, you know, it was lag less. There was
yep.
no lag. It was just a smooth video, you know, and not only videos, but, you know, advertisements, games. You'll be able to go to miniclip.com and
yep.
and play on there. So it's really, you know, give props to Google for working with Adobe, getting this out there, not trying to work against them, you know, and it's not slowing down the phone any.
Right.
You know, so all this shit that Apple was saying, oh, it's going to slow down the phone, oh, it's going to crash, oh, it's going to hog resources, well, not if you do it right.
Right.
And Google did it right.
Yeah, I mean, the whole scenario that they've sort of created here where, you know, they had their phone didn't run Flash, and the phones were, you know, sometimes laggy, and there was room for improvement. They recognized that. They didn't fucking cop out and say, well, that's just how it works, wait till the next one comes out, you know, or you know, give you some empty promise that this will be fixed. They just went out, came up with these insane fixes for this issue. The just-in-time compiler, the whole virtual machine setup, and then, you know, full Flash support. They came with it and delivered. And yeah, all these stuff are extremely innovative and extremely creative solutions to huge problems that affect a large percentage of the users of this phone. So, you know, with Apple, it doesn't seem like this is how it would go. You know, I mean, it doesn't seem like they would be this innovative in creating the solution.
No, as we've seen, I mean, with Apple, it's very much what Apple wants. You know, Apple is going to give you what it wants. You know, when Steve Jobs came out with the iPad, it wasn't for, you know, the consumers per se. It was what he wanted, and he decided to market it and sell it. Not saying that it hasn't been a success, but, you know, there's enough people out there that, you know, even like yourself, you know, you got the iPad, you played with it, and then just realized that it wasn't living up to what it could, you know, or what it should have lived up to, and you were limited on things you could do, you know, especially with certain web browsing, and boom, it's gone. So, you know, with Google and Android, and I really like this, they're giving the users what they, you know, the users want. They're listening to the users, and they're, you know, saying, okay, here are your complaints, here are your suggestions, here are your ideas, and they're taking that and they're doing what they can with it. And, you know, and they're listening. They're not, you know, Google isn't saying, well, this is what we want, so here you go. You know, this is, you know, they hear us consumers, and they say, okay, I think we can make a solution for that.
Yep.
And they jump right on it, and they do it.
Yep.
And that's going to be awesome. The app market, great improvement.
Yep.
You and I have been talking about this for a while. The app market is just... it's almost painful to navigate as it sits, especially on a desktop.
Right.
You know,
right. So apparently they're going to roll out the, so that you can go to the website from your computer and then just click on an app that you want via that push API. It'll just push it right to your phone, instant installation. And then as far as how it's managed on your phone, you can actually set an application to update automatically.
Yeah.
So behind the scenes, using Google's update, you know, abilities.
And that's huge.
Just, you know, sort of happen.
Because if you've got, you know, and I've probably got 30 or 40 apps on my phone, and, I mean, I usually check for updates daily just because I'm fucking habitual like that. But, you know, if you've got, you know, sometimes I have 3 or 4 apps that have an update to them, and you have to update each one individually. Well, this gives you not only the ability to update all, but to do an automatic update all.
Right.
So this shit happens in the background, you get the updates, and, you know, it never crossed your screen.
Right.
You know, as long as you trust the source, as long as you, you know, give it permission to do so, it can do it, and that's huge. Another huge thing is, like you were saying, you know, from a web browser, you click on the app you want, it sends it to your phone.
Yep, you don't have to tether your phone in order to get it.
Yeah, you don't have to hook up to iTunes and sync and do all this. You get it straight to your phone.
And that's what fucking Apple gets for not introducing wireless sync to the fucking iTunes. That's a no-brainer innovation that is yet to happen. No expectancy or time frame for that to happen.
There's an app for it in Cydia for $10.
There's an app in Cydia.
But $10.
Yeah.
You know, Google said, we're going to integrate this. And that's when Gunditra came up with another wonderful... a quote that he had that kind of slammed Apple, and I love this, and he said, you know, when doing this, when having this, you know, intent message go to your phone and browsing the phone and browsing the app market on your desktop and sending it to your phone, he's like, you know, we discovered something amazing. It's called the internet. And I love that because, yeah. I mean, it's just one of those duh moments. You're like, right. Well, duh, that's how it should work.
Right, yeah. Not only was, you know, did they attack that portion of Apple, but they attacked iTunes not being available on the cloud.
Yeah.
They showed, you know, he pulled up a list of all of his music on his computer that iTunes had.
Right.
And he was able to stream a song in under, you know, a couple seconds.
Right, over 3G and Wi-Fi. Now, this is huge. And this is, I think, going to be amazing. Because they're not trying to come up with a replacement, per se, to iTunes. They understand that a lot of people are going to use iTunes to manage their music. Excuse me. So, what they do is, basically you have, all this music. So let's say you have, 40, 50 gigs of music on your computer, okay? Let's say you're a complete audiophile and you just have all of this music. You don't want to put it on the phone, or you can't put it on the phone due to storage space, You no longer have to choose between, well, should I put all my music on there, or should I put, just my top-rated songs and some movies, or you don't have to worry about that, because now it's going to stream over 3G and Wi-Fi.
Yep.
So, you have this access to it, it puts it in the cloud, and boom, there you go. So 50, 60, 70, 100 gigs of music that you have on your computer, you can automatically stream to your phone. It doesn't take up any space on your phone, and that is fucking brilliant.
Yeah, that's great.
That is absolute genius, and that, I think, is going to make a huge difference for people to be able to access their music. Now, obviously, if you get into a situation where, you're flying on a plane and you don't have a wireless connection, well, then, you're kind of screwed. But in those situations, I know when I'm going to be without a data connection. Right. I know when I'm going on a trip, so I'm like, well, hey, maybe for the 3 hours I'm on the plane, I should put some songs on my phone.
Right.
Yep. But, I mean, for general purpose and general use, that is huge. Being able to stream all of your music whenever you want.
Yeah, I mean, and songs aren't this huge. They don't take up a ton of room when you on a song-by-song basis. So
right.
As far as streaming it over the air, it's very effortless when it all comes down to it.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. And so I'm really excited by
just,
all this.
Just all, yeah, all this innovation is it came in a single fucking keynote.
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about Google TV.
Oh, God.
And I mean, and they
it's going to be amazing.
All this Chrome stuff and HTML5 stuff. I mean, this was a two, and granted, this is like one of the Google's, this is one, if not the only, huge conference they have a year.
Right.
So, look at all this innovation. In this press conference, in my opinion, and others...
45 minutes of press conference.
And others' opinions that, the Android system has caught and passed the iPhone OS. And that's according to a lot of people, that seems to be the, what people are...
It's starting to become a general consensus.
Yeah, exactly. I mean...
Except for those diehard fanboys that refuse to, admit defeat.
Everything Apple does seems to be on, on a grid. It's very closed. Everything is very, very closed, and you pray for features that you don't ever get.
Right.
And you wait for three years. You can expect it. You can expect it because of their closed attitude towards so many things. And you know what? You can draw a direct comparison to Apple, the way they're handling themselves with Microsoft and how Microsoft just fired Jay Allard.
Yeah.
Jay Allard was the, one of the head guys to roll out, the Xbox. He rolled out the Zune. Granted, the Zune has not been, hugely successful, but it's a very legitimate, competitor for an MP3 player.
Yeah,
absolutely.
MP3 player.
So, and without going too much into it, I mean, the guy was one of the hugely innovating forces there, and it was rumored that he left due to the courier being axed. Another,
right.
Legitimate, new, viable technology that is going to do nothing but grow, and they fucking nix it without any sort of announcement for a new one. So that's an exact example of he was trying to push innovation and go outside of
outside the box.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Microsoft and Apple are tempered, and they look at things from a money standpoint. Like, what is the exact return? Guaranteed return that's going to get on this, and if it doesn't, if we can't put a exact quick, amount to it, then no, we're not going to do it. It's too risky, too risky,
too
can't
risky.
Do that. And Google is, they're on fire. I mean, the way that they do things is almost, the innovation almost comes, you could kind of say reckless, but that's not a good word for it. I mean, it's aggressive and just nonstop. Innovation, and if it doesn't work,
it's like a dog in heat.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yep,
it's very, very aggressive, and in the last year or so, I started to get really excited about what Google was doing. Last year, their I/O keynote, the real big thing was Google Wave, which we use on a weekly basis to document and structure our podcasts and whatnot, and put articles in there. I still think Wave has a great potential, if it gets adopted. Now that it's open to all users, I think that there is much more potential for it.
Yes.
But I was very excited about it, and that really kind of got me, excited about what Google was doing, because no longer were they just this search company. No longer were they just, you know, they had this little mobile OS that no one was really quite sure how well it was going to do. You know, I mean, they were just, you know, 1 year. You know, 1 year, they've just blown up with all of this. And, you know, they're ahead in market share. They're ahead in browsing and app usage, you know, over all the other, you know, mobile phones. And it's just, it's spectacular to see a company that is doing this in this day and age. You know, they're still out to make money because they're a company, but they've got that through their advertising, and they've right. got ways to put that in there. You know, they've just, I don't know, I'm just astounded.
At a glance, it looks like just another giant, but as one of the articles I was reading recently, you know, it said that while it is the youngest giant, it's a totally different species.
Yeah, yeah. This species is going to rip your heart out
exactly.
while smiling.
This motherfucker actually doesn't have a heart. It's fucking heartless. It'll fucking eat you alive with innovation.
Yes, it'll just suck your soul out. It's amazing. Yeah. That was the one quote by Yahoo. VP guy, basically. He was like, you know, Google, they're just a one-trick pony. You know, advertising is 99.9% of their business.
This is a giant making your mom turn tricks, right?
Yeah. and the Google guy fires back. He's like, you know, we may be a one-trick pony, but it's a pretty damn good trick, you know? And it's true. I mean, you know, they might be a search company or an advertising company, but all this other stuff that they've got under their umbrella. I mean, they're coming at you,
right.
You know, that Andy the Android is coming at you.
That's
full
correct,
force
dude.
On fucking steroids.
He's got fucking hammers and machine guns.
He's going to be smiling all the way to your fucking grave. It's,
pumping iron, doing the whole nine
yards. Oh, it's great. So, lots of good stuff coming out of Google. You know, and one thing I was thinking about when I was reading this, because, okay, you know, this is coming, you know, on the heels of Apple's WWDC, you know, and I think there's going to be some comparison there by Steve Jobs, and of course I'll watch it or whatever, you know.
But I'm excited. I really want to watch it. I mean, I still find some joy in that.
Yeah, and the thing that sucks though is the WWDC, and I don't know, maybe they'll change their format because they saw what Google did, but for the last many years, you know, we've had to rely on people there doing live blogs.
And this seems so
and
fucking...
not streaming video over the internet.
Yeah, this seems just stupid in so many different ways. I mean, G4 started doing the E3. They'd have like 3 hours of E3 coverage every
yeah.
day, having Nintendo, Xbox, and PlayStation's keynotes. I found that very enjoyable. I love sitting there and watching all three of the keynotes. Yeah, I don't even have Nintendo or PlayStation 3. I'm just a fan of games in general.
Right.
And people are fans of tech in general, and they want to see this stuff live as it's going on. If you push it, it just needs pushed, you know?
Yeah,
I think a lot of people would be interested in watching it if it was, you know, more of a common knowledge that this stuff was going on.
Right, and no longer did, you know, now there were people still doing the live blogs and stuff because...
I don't want to snip it on CNN after the fact.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. I want to watch this shit live or yeah. see it afterward, you know, and with Apple, you have to wait, you know, like, you know, 10 hours after the keynote before it's available on Apple.com.
Which, I mean, that's okay. At least they're giving it to you to download, you know, but...
Right, but still, I mean... You're talking about in the now, you know?
Yes,
like, I
want to
see
now.
This shit as
in
it's
this
happening.
Day and age, with fucking YouTube taking over the typical audience at night on network television.
Yeah.
YouTube now has more viewership than, you know.
Than primetime TV.
Exactly. So, come on.
And Google, you know, they were able to do it with no problem. Apple can do it. You know, it's not a matter of whether they can, you know, can or cannot. It's a matter of, you know, will or won't.
Right.
And, you know, Steve Jobs being the uptight douche he is probably won't, but the ability's there, and I really think that they need to step it up and do that this year, especially just to keep pace with Google, you know, when Google streams their stuff live. So, be interesting to see that. But, okay, so you got a couple features of the iPhone 4 coming up. They were talking about, like, the front-facing camera, you know, for, like, video chat, and, you know, the screen's going to have a higher resolution, all this kind of shit. And I look at that and I say, you know, that's great, but at the same token, you've got this Sprint Evo 4G coming out, you know, which is going to be coming out, you know, fairly soon, right about the time of the you know, WWDC. This is, especially for Sprint users, the iPhone killer. It's going to have a front-facing camera.
Right.
It has an 8-megapixel camera on the back.
This is the phone of the future.
You know, it's got a 4.3-inch screen. It does high resolution. It's got 720p video. It's got an HDMI out for it, for fuck's sake. Okay, so anything that the iPhone's going to come at us with on June 7th is only going to be, at most, comparable to what the HTC Evo 4G can already
right,
do.
We don't have to find this in a bar to know that it's going to eventually come to all of our carriers.
Yeah. And I mean, it's, you know, the fact that an Android phone's doing this already, you know, it, 18 months out of the gate, you know, Apple's had, you know, like I said, going on their fourth year of doing this. So, you know,
we've been begging for these features for the last 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, however impressive the new iPhone 4G is going to be, it's only going to be comparable, at best, to what Android is coming out with on their handsets. Yeah. I don't think anymore there is going to be a feature that is going to best, you know, an Android phone out there.
Yep.
At least one, you know. And I say the 4G, the Evo 4G, you know, if that were on Verizon, I would have gotten that instead of the Incredible.
Absolutely.
Just because of the up specs and everything. But, you know, the Incredible's great phone. You know, if you're on Verizon and you want something that's, you know, an iPhone killer, get the Incredible.
Right.
But I think, you know, moving forward, we're going to, you know, no longer have to wait for the next iPhone killer. You know, like the BlackBerry Storm was supposed to be an iPhone killer, and that
right.
thing fucking failed horribly.
Yes, it did.
And now it's going to be that whatever Android handset is out there is already going to be an iPhone killer. It's already going to be comparable in specs and ability. And the fact it's going to be open, and that's what that's the kill part.
Yep.
That's the fucking kill right there,
yep.
is that it's open. And, you know, people say, oh, well, you know, the App Store isn't as big and whatever. But you know what? This motherfucker has grown by leaps and bounds.
Exactly.
And soon enough, it will compete with Apple's App Store. A lot of people are porting Apple, you know, iPhone apps to Android already.
I was surprised about how many apps were in there that I already had on my iPhone.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, well, let's grab that.
I mean, so it really... You know, this shit is legit.
Yep.
And no longer is Apple the dominant person. I don't care what specs they come out with and what their iPhone 4G looks like. It's not going to be better than, you know, the Incredible or the Evo 4G. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to best an Android phone out there now. It's only going to be comparable.
Yep.
So I think we've reached a new era, a new age of awesomeness that, you know, we can see Android really starting to kick ass. So that's...
Yep. And we'll see 50 to 100 more Android devices between the launch coming up and then the next iPhone 5 launch.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we will catch and pass you.
And, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, everything is getting better. And as long as these, you know, companies can just keep in mind, hey, we need to use the newest Android operating system, then I think everything is going to be fine.
Yep.
You know, so I'm excited, but... Yeah, you know, bring us to our next piece.
Oh, man, I just got to recover from that.
I'm sorry.
Calm down.
I know.
Calm down.
I need to...
Google's got it under control. You just
relaxness.
Calm down.
I know. Take a chill pill and relax.
All right, well, the most important part, will your phone get for you?
Oh, will
that's,
it?
That's the one thing that's a little frustrating is we have to rely on the on our manufacturers to get that firmware ready for our phones. Unless your phone's ported, then you can use it, but it may be a little sketchy at times. So
you mean rooted?
Rooted. Over time, you know, this should get better as, you know, manufacturers aren't used to, you know, needing to push a firmware out at this, you know,
every couple months.
Yeah, every couple months with these insane features added to it.
Yeah.
But hopefully all these things will continue to get better. The one thing I wish is that the Nexus One would be a CDMA phone on Verizon.
Yeah.
Because, I'd heavily consider getting it just for the fact that, you know...
It's got Froyo now.
Yeah, I mean, you're missing out on all these features that are, you know, there, and they're there as soon as the firmware comes out. So... but the good news is that Motorola and HTC, one of the two biggest Android, you know, successors,
right,
is, you know, Moto's going to be getting it next month. That was the rumors, the Moto Droid.
Right.
Should be getting it next month. And then the HTC Droid, they said that, you know, that it is on the top of their list.
Right.
And that all of their phones should be running 2.2 by the end of the year.
Right. So especially all the phones that came out in 2010 should receive the update.
So I don't care how many Asians have to commit suicide over this. I just want my firmware to fucking work.
That's fucking horrible, dude.
Yeah, it is.
That is fucking horrible.
God bless all those Foxconn people. It's really terrible.
That's a whole different podcast right there. Something needs to happen with that shit. Ten suicides in 1 year. We're halfway through the year, barely.
And this is the Foxconn is the iPad and iPhone maker.
They make stuff for like Nokia and Samsung.
Yeah,
and
they put the stuff together. But what's really staggering is that the stats at Foxconn are the industry average for the Asian sweatshops.
Yeah, basically.
They don't call them sweatshops. But when you sign a fucking contract that says you will not sue them if you commit suicide.
Yeah.
Seriously,
which, I don't
that's
know how
something
the fuck
to
you,
roll it. Yeah,
you do that.
You're
beyond
flying
the grave,
a family, I guess.
Yeah,
clause in there. But
they have 400,000 workers. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You have to sign a contract to work overtime.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. And to get like
there's
an extra
a
rule, like
$230,
you have to put in like 30 hours of overtime. That's $230 US. They say that those wages are comparable to other, you know, fucking sweatshops in Asia. But I mean, seriously. And they look at it, they say, okay, well, we've had 10 deaths, 400,000 workers. In Asia, I think the suicide rate's 15 per 100,000. Here in America, it's about 10 per 100,000, which is still much. But you're looking at, okay, well, there's 400,000 workers at Foxconn. But, you know, still, that's one company, okay?
Right.
You know, that's one company. Something needs to be done.
Right.
And these people shouldn't be jumping to their death.
And they're killing themselves over their job. Like, it's not...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is some insane, sad shit, and all Apple does is, you know, release, a little apology and
Apple Apple aggravates me too, but you shouldn't care so
much. Right, you know, and that's true. And I'm not putting all the blame on Apple. We're not going
to
play the blame game
with
this, because there's other manufacturers that work there, but it comes down to Foxconn and their responsibility. But as far as us, we don't have to worry about that shit.
Nope.
Thank God. The Incredible and the Desire for HTC are the top two handsets, the top of the list to get Froyo. HTC is going to be working on that. Now, the reason that it's going to take a little bit longer is because of the Sense UI, so it's kind of nice to have the Sense UI, but it's also kind of a bane of our existence because it delays some of this. Nexus One already has the Froyo update, but it's reported that it's only a release candidate. It's not a final release. It's been a little laggy, a little touchy at certain things. But I think only like a day or two after the I.O. conference, some Nexus One owners were getting these updates to Froyo. So people have been able to test it out. Hell, they even put it on a G1 and a MyTouch 3G and all that, which, I mean, these phones probably will never get it for real, but they were able to port this over. It's definitely exciting. Obviously, the Evo 4G is going to get it. I hope that it happens, in June, July. It potentially could take as long as August, September. But hopefully they will roll this shit out quick because as excited as I was to get the Incredible, I'm just as excited to get Android 2.2 on my Incredible.
Definitely.
So,
100%.
Motorola Droid will be getting it, like you said, without a problem, coming up probably in June.
Yep.
They don't have to deal with that.
Fuckers.
Speaking of Moto... they're coming out with a new phone called the Shadow, basically like the Droid 2.
So instead of a gym, instead of a bar, they found this one in a gym.
Yeah, except this time there's no lawsuits going on because...
No, the intern just got fired.
The guy at the gym, yeah. That's some bullshit. Okay, so here's what happens. Guy goes to gym, guy's working out, has a prototype, of this Motorola Shadow, like the Moto Droid 2, basically. Drops it, loses it, whatever. And working at a Verizon corporate gym, picks it up, takes a couple pictures, sends it to his buddy. His buddy sends off the pictures and everything, with some of the specs and all that. And then, the guy that lost the phone comes back to the gym. The guy at the gym gives him back the phone, has a little conversation with him, talks to him about a couple things about the upcoming phone. And then, like, 2-3 days later, guy at gym gets fired, which is some bullshit. Because, he didn't steal the phone, he didn't do anything horrible, but, I don't want to get into another, like, 45-minute debate of legalese like we did last week, but, this is kind of shitty.
Yeah,
sucks. These people need to be responsible. If I had a prototype of a next-generation phone... Probably not.
I'd take it into the shower with me somehow.
And ruin it, but still, throw it in a Ziploc.
Yeah, Ziploc.
Here's the thing. excuse me, I wouldn't go work out with it because I wouldn't want to leave it there. You got to think of these things of, what could I possibly leave it? Now, if I'm going to the grocery store, I might take it with me. You know, if I'm going to hang out with some friends, watch a movie at somebody's house, I'll take it with me. Show my friends, hey, look at this cool new phone. All right?
Don't fucking take pictures of it.
Yeah, I'm not going to go get drunk at some bar off some German beer and forget it. I'm not going to go to a gym and work out and drop it and forget it. You know, you just, these guys have got to be smarter than this. You know, and it just, you know, some responsibility needs to be taken by the people that are losing these phones.
Certain jobs have certain things that you have to make sure you don't do. If you work dealing with fucking prototypes,
yeah,
and things that will equate to millions of dollars of business,
yeah.
And if you got to step it up, man.
If you worked for the government, you'd be shot for this shit, you know. But so it's supposed to have a 4.1 inch screen. 8 megapixel camera, which seems to be what's going to be the standard now, which is nice. The processor I was a little disappointed on. Processor is only going to be a 720 megahertz ARM Cortex A8. So it's going to be a little bit better than what's in the Droid already, but not by much. Now, they are talking about being able to overclock it, but that's, of course, with Root. 8 gigs internal, which, you know, we've got that with the Incredible. But you're looking here, and to me, it seems that If you're Motorola and you've got this Droid that you came out with, you know, it was really a big hit, you know, really started pushing Android into the future. Why wouldn't you really kind of up the specs on your next handset? I mean, why wouldn't you throw a 1 gigahertz processor? It doesn't have to be Snapdragon, but, you know, let's at least keep with the times. Let's throw a 1 gigahertz processor in it and up the ante a little bit, you know.
Maybe they're scared of dragons.
You know, it could be. Scared of the fire-breathing awesomeness. But not a whole lot that we can tell from it. But, you know, it's going to have a little bit bigger screen. Probably nice. I think it's got HDMI out on it, so at least they did that right. So that's good. But, yeah, that's all I got on Moto. All
right. Well, that is going to conclude our Google News.
Yeah. Wow. 56 minutes in, and we are concluding our Google News.
Well, I tell you what. We'll do a crossover story here.
Okay, let's do a crossover.
Android for iPhone 3G is now available.
So for all those people, those poor, unfortunate souls who still have an Apple iPhone 3G, you can now have Android on
your phone.
Or if
you just have an old iPhone, you want to make it useful again.
Yeah, exactly. You can put Android on there.
No, yeah, I think it's a really cool dual booting that, and, well, just having an optional thing to boot it up into the iPhone OS and the Android OS is really cool. Hopefully they'll fucking have Android running on the iPad.
That would be awesome.
So it's running on the original iPhone, the iPhone 3G, so should just be a matter of time for the GS and then the iPad. So.
Yeah, and I think that's great. Still not going to make it worth the $500, but still great.
I would actually argue that if it's integrated properly, it very well could
be. If integrated properly, you know, I'd rather just see a native Android,
yes, absolutely,
tablet. But yeah, I mean, you know, I still drop the price just $100. I'm not asking $200 like I used to. Drop it $100 for 16 gigs.
This fucker's right. Doing good, man.
You know,
people are into this thing.
I know, but the thing is they're not realizing how gypped they are. You know, they're right. Getting. I mean, yep. You know, compared to Apple's prices, you know, this is cheap. But compare it to everyone else's prices, and it's still expensive.
Right.
$500 for 16 gigs is too much. But
For a tablet computer, if it does, in fact, have all the bells and whistles, it's worth $500. But it does not have all the bells and whistles.
Right, because it's not a tablet computer.
Right.
You know, it's
a closed environment lacking flash.
Yeah, exactly. So, for all those
and fucking USB, and a replaceable battery.
Yeah. Hell, and the list goes on. So yeah, Android on iPhone 3G, that's awesome. Props to Planet Being from the iPhone dev team for porting that. You know, keep up the good work so we can just spread this Android system around and even get on Apple's closed walled off garden.
Right. Speaking of walled off garden, they made an app. You can pull it up, go to a website using Flash, and it will render the Flash site off site and beam it to your phone.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Yes, it is.
Kind of like the Skyfire browser for Android and Windows Mobile.
Exactly. There's something to that rendering off-site stuff.
And that helps. Still won't get you to Hulu, because Hulu blocks mobile access like that.
However, if you're running an Android phone, there is a way that you can modify it. to allow you to go to the site.
Really?
10-4.
Shut the fuck up.
Shit you not, brother.
Fuck. Why has this not been shared, good sir?
I thought it did.
Oh, well, we'll talk about that later. Well, why don't we talk about it now since it's a tech podcast?
Well,
how do you do that?
I don't know. All right, it's right there. It's right there in our
That's running on 2.2.
Right.
I'm talking about running on 2.1.
Right, but even if you're running 2.2, you can't go to the Hulu site.
Really?
Yes.
Fuck me running.
Well, they've already blocked it. And so, as I was stating last time, this is a really big deal. I think this is a front that will be, that will just, this battlefront will just get worse as time goes on. Because who are they to say that one desktop computer cannot be, if you're on a mobile phone, that it should be restricted. But if you're on a desktop, it's not restricted. If you go to Hulu on your phone, you should be able to get Hulu on your phone if it's available on your desktop. You shouldn't have to pay extra.
Right.
So, yeah, they found a way to just alter a line of code.
Yeah,
to
about colon debug. You enter that into the address bar. You switch the UA string setting from Android to desktop, and it makes the website think that you're running on a desktop browser.
So this is something that can be patched that Hulu can keep. Keep you from being able to do.
And chances are they will patch it pretty soon.
Right, but in the long run, I mean, I think that the war can be won by us 100%. Once they, if this issue continues to escalate and it goes back and forth, I can't help but think that we will be able to beat them on this as far as, the long run.
There will be a way.
There can't be a way for them to tell a desktop from mobile phone 100% of the time. There can't be.
Right. So. There's always a way to mask it. As far as the flash on the iPhones and stuff, basically that website, like I said, it's like Skyfire. Now it's out in beta right now. They're talking about a premium beta that'll speed up the frame rate. It's reported to cost $9.99 a month. So at that point, you might as well just fucking subscribe to Hulu and watch on your fucking computer. You know what I mean?
Right.
$9.99 a month. Is ridiculous when I can get a free browser that's going to do the same shit.
Right, and I mean, it probably does cost them a decent amount to run some servers that are going to render Flash constantly.
Right.
I mean, it's a large undertaking.
That's what advertising's for.
Right. But, that's pretty crazy solution to a fucking problem that Apple caused for all of its iPhone users, but nonetheless, that's what we expect from them nowadays.
Yeah. So, let's talk a little bit more about iPhone. Supposedly,
Sprint is a bad bad name for a company that has such a slow network.
Yeah, well, Sprint is definitely, they beat out AT&T. Sprint and Verizon are the top two networks right now as far as they're talking about speed,
right,
and whatnot. Subscriber base, I think Verizon's still number one, but you're talking about speed and usability of their mobile internet.
It should be called hopscotch because it only works in certain areas.
Yeah. I am not a big fan of Sprint. I haven't been for a while since they screwed me over like 12 years ago. I'm fucking still bitter about the shit. I'm not going to get into it, but it was some bullshit. This is back when we had candy bar phones. I was carrying a Nokia like candy bar phone, and this thing was the shit because it could do like color as opposed to just like the green screen with the black text.
Wow.
God, how far we've come.
Yep.
But, Best Buy employee, quote-unquote, confirms iPhone coming to Sprint.
So, there's a rumor from a Best Buy employee that iPhone's coming to Sprint.
Yeah, now, I mean, this could or could not be legit. Now, it would coincide with the rumors that Apple is trying to come out with a CDMA iPhone. Because, as you know, in America, we have two CDMA networks. We got Sprint, and we got Verizon. That's it. So, with the whole issue with Verizon and Apple, going back and forth, I mean, Sprint could be an option. Now, you look at it, I mean, at this point, compared to AT&T, it's almost, I hate to say it, a viable option.
Right.
To allow your iPhone to be on Sprint. The problem is the Evo 4G is still going to be a better phone on Sprint. But, they talked about, seeing some advertisements and some dummy, posters and cardboard cutouts and shit at Best Buy. I don't know. As far as this goes, you know, I'm not putting too much into it. I've learned that I'm not going to put much into anything until Apple announces it at WWDC, which, again, is going to be June 7th, for those people who want to check that out. So, we'll see. Now, AT&T has actually confirmed that iPhone 4G will launch in June. So this is actually...
No vacation for you!
Yes, vacations were blocked out. This was reported a couple months ago for the
month
of June.
That's so funny, man. All you gotta do is watch for vacation time.
Yeah, exactly, when they put a big blackout date on it. AT&T has specifically confirmed to its employees that the next-gen iPhone will launch in June. Now, this isn't really huge news, okay? A lot of us already...
It's actually on schedule.
Yeah, this is what we expected. It's just a confirmation. You know, it's not fucking groundbreaking by any means, but it's just another thing, a confirmation of the many little things that we know about Apple and their upcoming tech. We pretty much can bank on a June-July release of their new iPhones. You know, it usually follows a week or two after their WWDC conference. Since the conference is June 7th, early June this year, probably expect mid-June.
Yep.
I would say June 14th, you know. Fuck it, why not? June 14th. So, now here's the thing. AT&T is still going to have the iPhone, man. How the fuck are they going to deal with all the congestion? Tell me how.
It's going to be crazy.
It is going to be crazy. So what AT&T plans to do, they're offering free Wi-Fi to fix their data congestion issues. Basically in high-dense populations, San Fran, New York City, shit like that, they're deploying Wi-Fi hot zones and offering free wireless internet
to make
customers.
Up for a shitty-ass network.
Excuse me. Yeah, so essentially, instead of spending money on making their network better, they're trying to give you an alternative, which, hey, I'm all for being able to use Wi-Fi. But you look, this hot zone in New York, it's in Times Square, okay? Once you leave Times Square, your network still sucks.
Right.
So, you know, it's... Sorry. Oh, God, I've been sick all week, and now I'm going to have a coughing fit. So, yeah, it's not really a solution.
Wow. In other news.
Fuck. Oh, my God. Damn it. So, all right. Yeah, bring us on with the next one.
All right, so complain about your drop calls, your iPhone calls with science.
Science. She blinded me with science. Obscure 80s reference.
So some genius came up with a way to analyze data from your phone to figure out how many calls were dropped, and you can tie that into a class action lawsuit generator.
Yeah, it's pure fucking genius. Basically, you know, instead of complaining to the world how you keep dropping calls and have shitty service with AT&T, you can now complain to the world and AT&T and showing them with proof. You know, we're motivated by data, not just opinions.
Right.
So
maybe this is why, maybe this little tool is the reason why AT&T raised their early cancellation fees, because they're going to have to use it to pay lawyers to fight these tons of lawsuits.
Yeah.
That are going to be...
Now, they only did it for iPhone and other phones that are exclusive to them.
Which is a very easy way to say...
iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, they did agree to unlock their phones. AT&T has agreed to unlock their phones and provide unlock codes for customers. Except for, again, when they have exclusivity on, you know, sales management and arrangement like the iPhone.
Right.
You know,
it's basically attacking your wise customers that are there for a phone that's exclusive to you, but they want to leave you because your network fucking sucks or
right.
There's a better phone elsewhere. Like, you're punishing them for that fact. I'm glad I canceled my contract a month before that went into effect.
Yeah, that's awesome that you did.
Yeah.
You definitely jumped ship at the right time. You know, now Verizon up their ETF, you know, a couple months ago, to like
I was totally up on AT&T for not giving into that.
Yeah, of course.
I had a
did.
Sneaking suspicion that, you know, it would just be a matter of time, but I didn't expect it this quick.
Yeah, well, you know, companies like to secure their money in certain ways. Plus, I mean, if you really look at it, you know,
it was a wise move.
Yeah, I mean, it's one way to recover the losses that they're about to have. because all of these great handsets are coming out that aren't the iPhone and that are on superior network carriers. So, you know, I understand it from a money sense. I still think it's a dick move, but, you know, that's what they want to do. That's what they want to do. People are still going to find a way. The fact that an iPhone can still go for $600, you know, that's going to cover your early termination fee plus pay for your new phone anyways.
Right.
So, you know, for those of you smart enough to use eBay out there that want to still, you know, you find a better phone, you want to drop your contract and stuff, just sell your iPhone on eBay.
Yep, unlock it, jailbreak it, advertise it as such, and you'll sell it for $600.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever. In concurrence with that, as far as news, you know, we're talking about, you know, AT&T, they're going to have their new phone come out in June with the iPhone or whatnot. So Walmart has dropped the prices of their iPhones from $197 for their 3GS to $97. Obviously, that is going to be with a 2-year contract, and they're doing that because, you know, the new iPhone's coming out.
Yep, gotta clean them out.
Yep, so every time that a new iPhone launches, the other iPhones get dropped like by like $100. The new iPhones come in at the same price or whatnot. There you go. So, you know, nothing huge, but, you know, I guess if you don't want the next-gen iPhone and you want to be on AT&T and have an iPhone 3GS, now's the time to get one.
Yep.
You know, jump on over to your local Walmart.
There you go.
So, yeah.
Well, going into tablet news, I really can't wait for the Google tablet to come out.
Yeah.
Google seems like they are working on this a lot, but they've not divulged any info yet. But I would say that the powers that be are busting their ass on this thing. But, yeah, so HP, regarding their tablet, which I really want to check out.
Yes.
If it's running Windows 7, which it probably...
If it's running Windows 7.
It maybe, might not be. But anyway, so they bought WebOS.
Well, they bought Palm.
Palm for the WebOS.
Basically for the WebOS.
Apparently HP was going to use that. It was a rumor that was supposedly confirmed, and then now it might not be confirmed. So I was just reporting the fact that we don't fucking know anything.
Yeah, it's wishy-washy. We're just saying that we don't fucking know.
Hopefully there'll be an option, or maybe WebOS is integrated. I mean, you know.
Yeah, you got some sites rumored saying that there's definitely going to be a mid-October launch of the WebOS tablet by HP. You got other places saying that HP never said that, and that they never, you know, said that they were going to switch from a Windows 7 tablet, though we haven't heard any news from it. You know, even the WePad or the WeTab, you know, that from that German company that is fucking crazy, you know, I mean, they're still coming out with news. You know, they pushed back their shipping date to September.
Right.
And, you know, and it costs, you know, $50 more than the iPad, but, you know, who knows? It's an obscure German company that we know nothing about. But
I don't know why you keep talking about
it. Well, because, you know, at least they keep coming out with news updates, whereas, you know, HP just kind of let the shit die off.
So, yeah, I like HP's design qualities in their laptops, and I think they make some great products. So this would be, I think they make a good tablet, and if they do make it, they'll do it right. And they need to, man. I mean, there's market share to be had, and people, I think I'm not the only one that thinks that, you know, they have good build qualities and everything. So hopefully they'll come and come hard.
Yes. Go big or go home.
There you go.
You know, I still hope for a Google tablet, though. You know, Android 2.2
yes,
or something.
That's where the money will be at. I'd be interested in the HP Slate.
Yes. So, on a completely different, unrelated topic to what we've been talking about, GPS, Global Positioning Systems, the satellites are getting an $8 billion upgrade. That's about on par. I think that, you know, Verizon spends $9 billion a year maintaining and upgrading their mobile network.
Ground. This is in space.
Yeah, this is in space. Now, GPS has taken over a lot of stuff. It's not just
it's
for nav systems. It's very much integrated into a lot of technology now. But this should definitely help with, you know, accuracy and reliability. You know, I've noticed sometimes I have troubles connecting to the GPS satellites. This should help with that, and it should make your navigation even better. So,
right, the triangulation between cell phone towers is also used in with cell phones when they don't have a good GPS signal and everything.
Right.
So, you know, it's important that they keep that up and, you know, keep making that better. When Vic Gundotra, when he was asked about, you know, the future of everything, I think he was very right in saying, you know, location, 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 and getting into the super hyper location where, you know, if you're in an airport, you know, the airport should just be constantly reporting to your phone things you want to know about it, you know?
Right.
Or where to go, what to do, and you need pinpoint accuracy for that kind of stuff. The current, you know, what is it, 20 feet or whatever the...
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes it's within, like, 10 meters.
Yeah, it needs to get better and more consistent, so...
And I gotta praise Google Maps for actually really consistently increasing their accuracy with their navigation, not only on just the pinpoint location for, like, latitude, but also for navigation.
Right, it's important. You know, it's very important.
They announced at the I.O. conference that over 1 billion, you know, miles have been navigated on their Google Maps, you know, in the last 6 months. So that's fucking huge. And they've been definitely doing a lot better. I remember when I Google Maps for my BlackBerry, and it was like, this is your location within 1,000 meters. And I, you know, I'll tell you what, it would be lucky if I was on the outer rim of that big fucking circle, you know. And 1,000 meters, that's a good mile-ish right there, you know.
You look at your billing statement and give you a pretty close one.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty rough. And now it can, you know, do within 5-10 meters.
Yeah.
Usually it's pretty accurate. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be great to even be more accurate and be able to penetrate buildings better instead of, you know, having to have a clear view of the sky
right.
to run the GPS. So, lots of good shit, man. I'm very, very excited.
Yep, thank you, Google, for being awesome.
Yeah, next week we'll talk about Google TV some more because we're gonna cut it down for tonight. But next week, you know, whatever else is in the news. I'm trying to think. Let me take a little look here. It is... Okay, now, so next week, we won't have the WWDC, but the following week, we'll have coverage for that.
There you go.
You know, because it takes place on the 7th, and we will definitely...
Whoa, hold on, 7th? On
yeah, June 7th, it's a Monday.
I think I might be out of town.
Shut the fuck up.
Yep.
From what day to what day are you out of town?
That's pretty awesome.
That sucks.
You'll be watching the keynote from the beach, nigga.
Oh my god, I hate you. I want to watch the keynote from the beach. Nobody ever pays me in gum. What? Well, we'll figure something out. But,
I might be on a boat.
On a boat! Take a good hard look at that motherfucking boat, Shorty. So, you know, here's a quote that I have that I think Steve Jobs should really listen to. And it might help him a little bit. When you get lost in your imaginatory vagueness, your foresight will become a nimble vagrant. Gary Busey said that.
I think it's accurate. I think he really said something.
I mean, you really... He definitely said something. and it seemed coherent. When Gary Busey speaks, it's on the border of insanity and genius. And sometimes you get more genius than insanity and vice versa. This is, I think, right there on the border. But it's definitely good. You know, basically, when you get lost in yourself, you know, your foresight is just... You lose your foresight.
You spend so much time being lost that you can't see.
Yeah, and that, I think, definitely applies to Steve Jobs. You know, he's become lost in himself, and his foresight is just gone. And I think that'll be the downfall of his company.
Your vagrancy will be nimble.
Your foresight is becoming a nimble vagrant there, Mr. Jobs. So thank you, Gary Busey. Thank you guys for listening. Next week, next Thursday, because Casey won't be on vacation then, we'll be rocking the next podcast.
Indeed.
Awesome. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in.